Jackson, I think the goal of this podcast today is
to not overreact anything.
No. Well, this kind of coincides, but
too late.
I'm going with Pirates of the Caribbean theme. We gotta walk people off the plank,
like back onto the ship.
Yeah, let's get them back onto the ship and back to
reality. Not like literally walk them off the plank.
I'm not pushing them off. This is not like in Star Wars where you try to, that was like the futuristic version of trying to throw Luke into the pit. I can't remember what they would call that.
Yeah, we don't have a Spartan pit of death. We're not kicking people into the pit.
No, but Twitter would be my
example. Twitter is kicking people into the pit.
Not just kicking people, kicking players into the pit too.
Drop kicking players into the pit. Like with a running start.
I'm gonna start off by saying I was at the game last night. So after that major rant I went on last week about ticket, I wasn't gonna go out of my way to get tickets. I told you that, but a cousin of mine apparently has a connection to someone who sells tickets or has tickets, and we got them for he hasn't given me the price yet. I've been asking him a couple times.
Yada yada yada. Dave was at the game.
I will say, let's start off by, I'll tell you about my experience. I've never been to a Leaf playoff game. Apparently my brother's been to one before, and I guess I was younger and I don't remember. This was when the Leafs played the Senators, so that tells you how far back that goes.
I've barely been to a Leafs regular season game, so it's not like I can relate this experience.
And I just kind of remember back when I used to watch Leaf games on TV. This was I'm talking about before the lockout. And you know when you see Leaf games, especially the playoff games, where fans were all standing and cheering, and it was a massive sea of fans?
Yeah.
Like, I saw, when seeing that firsthand was just like reminding myself why, playoff games, now and I can understand why playoff games mean a lot more to be there. And to see the atmosphere, because it was probably the best atmosphere I've been to at a Leaf game.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I went to the Centennial Classic, and I mean the cold weather kind of dampened the the fans got excited after the game-winning goal, but there's no comparison. The building was full. I mean, you look down at the good seats, and I saw more fans and all standing and cheering, and it was incredible. The start of the game, not so incredible. Like literally the first shot of the game, and I'm not even gonna totally put this on Anderson. Like he should have made the save. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That is a savable puck. And he said it too. But that play should never have happened.
That's just a playoff goal.
Yeah.
Pucks on net, guy in front.
But what led to the play? I mean, I'm going to rewatch the play right now because...
Yeah, I was honestly wasn't even watching the TV when the goal went in, the first goal,
Because it was literally the first shot.
Because it's the first 30 seconds. Who's going to score in a playoff game in the first 30 seconds? The defense is supposed to be tight.
Well, and this is going to bring to my number one issue in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to wait for this ad to play before I can. Look, okay, we're at 19:40 of the first period, and the play. So this is what happens. Bruins, it was the top line that was out, right? So this would have been Pastrnak. Yeah. Skates around like nobody's problem. Like Mitch Marner tries to do something, didn't really. Morgan Rielly made a nice stick check, but he got it back because the defense was just non-existent and nobody covered Krug.
Yep.
This was the biggest difference between the Leafs' defensive game and the Brewers' defensive game. If that's a Leafs defender who had that puck, that person would have been covered right away. Not to have open daylight to throw it on net. But you also notice how quick Krug got that puck off. he didn't wait. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to wait for a screen to open up. No, he saw an open lane to shoot, and he shot it. And then, I mean, and I will say, I give the Leafs a lot of credit for responding right away with the most unexpected and unlikeliest person to score in Tomas Plekanec.
Says you.
Oh, yeah. Cause,
playoff hero Tomas Plekanec is the man, and I never doubted him for a second.
That was my tweet last night, actually. But
never in doubt.
Let's just say they play like the top line, but Plekanec's line with Marlon Marner were on another level last night.
They were the top line.
They were the top line.
Unfortunately, because somebody had to be. Because Chara did a very good job, as he's done all series, at
so this was
bottling up Matthews and Nylander.
This was going to be my next part. So, I know I'm not going to recap the whole game. People have seen it. I'm just going to go over a couple pointers, and then we'll dispute or discuss. We talked about, I guess, do you want to go through what went wrong for the Leafs, and then we can go through some analysis, or what do you want?
I'm going to be honest, there wasn't a lot that went wrong for them, other than the obvious parts.
Three mistakes.
This was their best game of the postseason so far.
Three mistakes all game. I mean, okay, not all game. They've made a couple of errors.
Not even three. I mean, Anderson is just, doesn't see it through a screen.
But that's a mistake, right? That's a mistake on his part. To not be able to see it through it.
It's not like he misplayed a puck that led to a goal or something.
Yeah.
Somebody was in front and he couldn't see the puck.
He
should have had it, but I don't know if it's a mistake. That's just an unfortunate bounce.
The second goal, I mean, there was just a lot that went wrong. I'm not even going to totally blame it on him because it was a hell of a play by Pastrnak on the 2-on-1.
Absolutely.
What the hell was Jake Gardner thinking?
It's Jake Gardner doing Jake Gardner things, man. We've talked about it all season. How do I put this? He's one of the, there's no way of putting it nicely. He has 50 points, but he's still so prone to mistakes and brain farts at any given time. Like he could be having a good game and then just throws a biscuit up the middle of the ice.
Well, okay. And that was the issue is that, it's a play where I did not think he was going to... Like, if you think you're going to be able to beat out David Pastrnak for the puck on a pinch...
David Pastrnak, who's also on a good streak of form as well. Like, he's just playing great.
This is where you hope that some sort of smart or intelligence comes in to realize, this guy has been killing us all series. Maybe I should back off. And
yeah.
Anticipate. Yeah. He didn't.
That's the game plan, though,
play.
For the Leafs. I mean, you're trying to maximize offense, and you want to pinch at the blue line.
They were doing that quite a lot. I mean, they were doing it a lot all series.
Yeah.
And the Bruins realized that, though. And like, how did the Leafs not realize they're onto us about that? We need to change something.
Well, you don't realize it until after the mistake's made, I guess, and then you should realize it.
But they made the mistake, and then it happened again. I mean, look,
it wasn't like they were giving up 2-on-1s all game. Like,
no, they weren't.
It was working for them because they were keeping sustained zone pressure. So why change it if you're getting your chances?
Yeah. And then the third goal.
Something real quick that I didn't really notice is Kiprios pointed it out after the game was off the faceoff, because I believe the Pastrnak to Marchand goal was off a draw.
Yeah.
It was off the icing, right?
Yeah, so it was off the draw. I think the Leafs lost it or they scrammed.
And this is not to criticize them before we get ahead of it, because there's been enough criticizing of these two over the course of the series. But Kiprios pointed out that Matthews and Nylander both thought they were the high man on the play to cover back in case somebody pinched, so you'd have two men back. And they both ended up just sort of hanging around the faceoff circle when the puck went back to Gardner, which left the Leafs down into a 2-on-1. So, I mean, it's a split-second thing that ends up costing you in the end. And obviously, you're going to be highly critical of it. It's hockey. Shit happens, as Matthews did say earlier in the series.
Yep, he has. I want to go to the third goal. And it's the same issue again. Similar issue in that the Bruins player closed the gap a lot quicker than I guess Dermott anticipated. And that's a play where all game
that's
long.
That's a different play too, though. It's
it
not,
is. I mean,
he
like
didn't
he had
pinch,
possession.
That's just but a pass hits a player and it's out of the zone.
But it's a decision that I think he made the wrong one. Like
it's a mistake, but it's not the same as Gardner because he's holding the line and tried to dump it in further and hit somebody in the chest or leg or something in it. Again, just a bounce that didn't go the Leafs way. So,
I will say, like, watching Dermott, he kind of looked, it wasn't his best game. He looked kind of all over the place a bit.
You know where I'll go with this.
What?
He's playing on a pair with Roman Polak.
Yeah, he is, but Polak actually wasn't.
Gives me my chest gets tight every time I see Roman Polak go anywhere near a puck.
Yeah, true. I mean,
there's not a lot of room to. There's room to criticize Dermott, but honestly, like.
Yeah, I'm not putting it all on him. I mean, look, it's a partner
same,
thing.
Same with Gardner. He had a. I had this argument with somebody on Twitter, as you know, and it's just Gardner had a bad pinch, but. I mean, Zaitsev didn't play the pass, and if Pasternak beats you, then Pasternak beats you. But
yeah, but Pasternak really he sold that so
yeah, yeah,
well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He did a great job, and it's not like Pasternak didn't make a great play, but just don't give him the opportunity to make that pass. If you make him beat Anderson instead of giving it to Marchand wide open, like he had a full 4x6, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
and there's a couple people getting on Freddie for not covering the cross crease. No, it's not on your goalie to cover a cross crease pass. It's on the defenseman.
Well, I mean, this is the difference between the Marner 2-on-1 with Marlowe and that Rask saved, and the Bruins one. Pasternak is a sniper. He is not a known playmaker, and Marchand technically is too. I see that, but. Rask knew 100%.
Yeah, but Marchand's a 40-goal scorer. I mean,
yeah,
you got it. You're not. It's not ideal either way. I mean, one of them's going to burn you. Pasternak probably picks Anderson top corner if he keeps that puck. We're talking what ifs at this point. What if Pasternak kept that puck? Would he have scored? I mean. If you want to talk about what ifs, the entire series is what if Marner didn't try and force that puck to Marlowe when he had a wide open net backdoor? Or not wide open, but when he had that shot backdoor. Hit a defender in the skate. Goes away. What if Marner scores on that breakaway? I mean, like, this is what you talk about when you lose games. It's just what could have happened if the Leafs generated or scored on their chances.
Yeah, like the Leafs had, I mean, I counted maybe at least two or three that Connor Brown just, like, a second later, if he was there a second later, it would have been a tap-in. Like, there were so many plays that they
Matthews and Nylander had a puck laying in the slot, and the puck hit Chara's stick.
Yeah.
His stupidly long hockey stick. I know he's 6'9", but honestly, that shouldn't be allowed.
No,
you should have to bend over and play with a normal size stick.
No. Oh, well.
I'm kidding. It's just he's a giant man that requires a giant hockey stick. Excuse me.
I mean, Hal Gill used to have a really long hockey stick.
Pierre McGuire knew about his long stick.
Yeah. So.
One of my favorite quotes of all time, but for another day.
Yeah. Okay. So. That was the thing that it was certainly frustrating is that they played a pretty good game. They dominated. I would say their fourth line, again, created a lot of chances, had the spark, and didn't get rewarded for it again. I mean, it's just the way the bounces go. But
you know, didn't get a lot of credit in the two games in Toronto. I thought Dominic Moore played well.
He got benched, actually, in that third period for Matthews.
He did, but that's because they were trying to score, and Matthews got double-shifted. Not because Moore was playing like
Dom
crap.
Moore was what you would expect from a guy like
Yeah,
him coming
I'm not
in.
saying he was a stud, but he came out and he did his job.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't make any turnovers. He played well in his own zone, as far as I can remember.
No.
He did what you want out of a fourth line center. I guess that's the idea, as a fourth line center. It's kind of like a defenseman. If you don't hear their name, it's sort of a good thing.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, unless
When
they
they
score,
score.
obviously. But
Yeah.
like, if you don't notice them, it's pretty good because they're just doing what they need to do.
I will say, and maybe we'll get into the criticism before we get to you know who. Let's talk about the
Leo
Bozak
Komarov.
line. No, let's talk about the Bozak line.
That's a battle for later.
Yeah, Connor Brown
Is that you
played
know
out of his mind last night, and it is so unfortunate that he had to play with Bozak and JVR. I mean, Bozak, if we're gonna, I'm gonna use the good old Peter Horacek line of the give a shit meter. Bozak was at about a mid. JVR at times could not care less. I mean, and I've heard this many times, especially on TSN radio, about passengers. He's a passenger right now. Both goals he scored, and I know this is his MO to score in front of the net, but Connor Brown is playing his mind out. Like, he's doing whatever he can to try to get the Leafs not only back in the game, but this is also when they were tied, to try to get them ahead. And there was times where he's the only one in the zone. And I'm wondering what the heck is his line mates doing. And Bozak, to give him credit, he was getting engaged in the forecheck and all that. JVR was like, people criticize other players, but I have rarely heard his name being
I'm not a
out there.
massive fan of Bozak, but JVR was probably the least effective player on that line last night. As much as I hate to give Bozak credit for a whole lot, because I don't know, I just reasons. You know my stance on Bozak.
I mean, he's no, they're both
Great
gone.
guy, cute kid. He's just hasn't
They're
been as effective
if
this year.
now let's say they were to lose on Saturday, that is it for them. There
Yeah,
is
that's it for Bozak. That's it for JVR.
no,
That's
and I actually
Bozak's off to Vancouver, apparently, so.
I think if they actually do somehow win this, I win the series, I would still not want them back, because I don't know how Babcock approaches. I know they're veterans and maybe they get a little more leeway. I just don't know how Babcock is on that bench not shaking his head about what he's seeing from them.
I mean,
Especially, especially JVR. I'm not gonna totally rip into Bozak because I did see him try to do things, but JVR frustrates
there's
the
been a
hell
lot of
out of me.
criticism on JVR, and I think most of it's been focused on Matthews and Nylander for obvious reasons. The point totals aren't there, but JVR, I mean, a lot of people have gotten back on this wagon of why didn't we trade JVR at the deadline? Because now it's pretty obvious the Bruins are just beating the crap out of him in front, and he's not nearly as effective from the perimeter than he is from in front of the net. He's not even close to as effective from the perimeter, even. If you're playing JVR on the outside, you're probably going to do pretty well against him because he's not overly quick. He's got good hands, but I don't know. He doesn't play that game where you can play on the perimeter and against the boards.
I don't know. It's just like, if he's a guy that benefits from set plays, right?
Well, he
He's not an
benefits from being good in
improvisation
front of the
turn.
net, and you don't get a lot of time and space in front of the net in playoffs.
Yeah, well, and this
This
was the
happened last time he played Chara. He's not playing Chara this time. I'm
he there
assuming
was
it's
a
Crew
couple of times
on
where
his
he
own.
was, but this was the bigger issue, actually, is the fact that and one strain, and this is something I wanted to get to, the Leafs, is their ability to get it tips, tipping goals. They're one of, I mean, Jonas Siegel had that article from The Athletic out, and he's like, the Leafs were one of the top teams in tipping goals. JVR was a big part of that. Well, guess what? In the playoffs, the Leafs have not been getting shots from the point. A lot of them have been blocked because the
Well, yeah,
Bruins are.
they have. They just, I think I was writing my article on the game last night, and Boston had 27 shot blocks, and Rask had 30 saves, so nearly 60 shot attempts. Even that's just sorry, that's just blocks and shots on goal, not counting the ones that missed the net. And the Leafs missed the net a lot in the second and third period. So that's probably close to 70, 80 shot attempts total.
Yeah.
Which, that's a pretty good night. But, yeah, it's just Boston knows how to play playoff hockey, and the Leafs do not yet. The Leafs, I don't think, have the roster. The thing with the Boston Bruins is, you know, even I said a lot of, like, they don't exactly have the depth the Leafs have, not skill-wise, I mean.
No, but they, I think...
They have guys, Marchand said as much. Did you read his Players Tribune article?
No, I didn't. I only saw Marchand, that one line about his dad.
No, Marchand said that they have, in 2011, he equated this team to the team they have in 2011, and the fact that that team had a bunch of players that weren't exactly the most skilled in the world, but they were willing to do whatever it took to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe them after this. I mean, they're not the flashiest team in the world. Their first line sure is. They score some pretty goals. But the second, third, and fourth line just grind you into the ground.
Yeah.
And that's why they're so successful.
Their style does translate a little more to playoff hockey than most other teams. That's why some were like, this matchup just doesn't play into the Leafs' favor as much.
Yeah.
As...
And it's, I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the series, what the Leafs have to avoid to win. And it's this dump and chase crap that Mike Babcock likes to use that doesn't produce any offense.
It worked a little bit more last night, though.
Yeah. It works at times, but it's not a foolproof strategy for the Leafs.
It works
because they don't have big bodies that can.
It well, it's not just big bodies. It's guys that can get in there quick enough to beat out the defenders.
No, I know what this argument sounds like, and that's not where I'm going.
Okay.
Big bodies that are willing to check down low, and I'm not talking about putting Matt Martin or getting a bunch of bums in the lineup.
He's actually their best. I think he's one of the better ones of getting in down low and.
Yeah.
I guess what you're trying to get to is separating the defender from the puck.
Yeah, exactly. Like Matthews is good at it. Marner's good at it. Like just getting in on a guy's stick and getting the puck.
Nylander's usually one of the better ones too. He's pretty sneaky with that.
Willie's not bad. But it's just guys that like in the playoffs, you need to abuse the other team and just hit them, and the Leafs don't do that. And I'm not calling for these like Patrick Maroon big guys that produce a little bit of offense but hit everything and we get in on the puck. I mean, you can use that in a playoff, sure, but the Leafs, it's not like the Leafs add those guys to the lineup and this result is any different.
Yeah.
The Bruins are a good team.
So this is where, okay, do we want to get into this now? Because I think...
David.
What?
Into what?
Certain people, and you're writing an article about this, so...
I just submitted it.
Yeah, you did, and
enjoy.
A little tough to edit and do a podcast.
I've done it before,
and it's not the best strategy. I wouldn't recommend anyone do that, but...
There's at least one point where you just completely zone out. Like, I can already tell you from experience of doing previous podcasts where you just start reading shit, and then you're just completely out of it. You've missed the point.
So how I'm gonna
bad
try
idea.
For, yeah.
Nice, just
Austin Matthews. Okay, so
I'm out of town.
I'm seeing the
terrible,
same
terrible leader, terrible player. Don't need him.
I'm seeing the same stupid picture. I've seen it on milk cartons, like photoshopped on milk cartons. I've seen it on posters, and it's the missing one. And I'm taking this. This is where I kind of throw a little bit of my journalist hat out the window, because this is where I get pissed off.
It's where journalistic sense ends and common sense just takes over.
Because you know why? Because even journalists, nothing you can say can. Sometimes nothing you can say can change a person's passion around. Like. People are passionate. I give them people a lot of credit for being passionate, especially about their sports teams.
But
there's passion, and then there's, as you would probably say, lack of common sense / stupidity.
Yeah, there's just a line that people cross when it comes to cheering for sports teams, and Leaf fans are not shy to cross that line.
People need to realize that the Boston Bruins were one of the top defensive teams in the league this season. I think Nashville was top, but Bruins were, like, I think, top three in goals against. You don't want to know why? Zdeno Chara is still a decent defenseman because, I mean, Charlie McAvoy is a big reason why. But
yeah, that's helped.
I watched them last night, and I kind of don't understand why Babcock didn't try to get them away from Chara as much. Maybe it's just the way the line changes worked, and Cassidy was able to get it worked out. But anytime I saw Matthews against Chara, this is not a battle he's going to win just because Chara knows how to play it, right? When Chara was against the Marner line in the fourth line, he was totally outmatched. And then Myrtle tweeted out last night that the Leafs should play Matthews more, and maybe that starts to wear down on Chara. Because I think Chara had an easier time defending him, and maybe that's because Babcock was running out the other lines to kind of match up with the Pasternak line, so he had the Bukatic line out more. I didn't see the total time of ice, and I probably should have looked that up.
Chara had about 26 minutes.
Did he really?
Almost 27.
And there was times where he was exposed, and I don't get that. But
McAvoy had about 23. I'm assuming Chara was also on the PK.
Yeah. So this is where I'm going to get into this argument about Matthews. Auston Matthews, yes, he looked frustrated last night. He didn't look himself. But at the same time, Zach Hyman was really good, I thought. Like, in doing what he needed to do. There was just some missed chances and that stuff. William Nylander and Justin Bourne kind of helped me realize this a bit more. He posted some video. But Nylander had times where, like, Hyman is down low trying to work out a puck, and he's going up against two defenders. No support. And Matthews, I think, had some points like that, too. Matthews actually played over 20 minutes last night. So, if you want to, he was pushed. So, maybe I was, Plekanec played 15. Okay, so I was totally off on that one. But, again, this was, that line works so much better when it's just not one guy working down low. He needs support. And Nylander was late on a couple of chances. Like, go to Justin Bourne's Twitter account, and he puts it out. That was my issue, is that people are putting it on Matthews. It's a line. It's a trio. It's a group of three people. You cannot put everything on one person.
I saw somebody tweet out today that the defense is faltering and Anderson has an 88 save percentage, but let's blame Auston Matthews for every single problem in this series. It's like, yep. Freddie hasn't been a stud. He stole the game three, but past that, not great. Just sort of average.
He has not looked.
The defense has issues, and everyone's known that for a very long time, and they're being exposed by the Bruins.
Yep.
Let's take the generational talent and proceed to shove him out of the city because a 20-year-old couldn't win the Leafs a cup.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go
second year.
Like that's only a select few people that are just—they're in the panic mode.
And my article is for those select few people that decide to drag all of Leafs Nation down to the lowest 1% of our brain capacity.
Yeah.
And think Auston Matthews isn't leader material because he only has 1 point in a playoff series. Shut your mouth.
Yeah. So people need
do everyone a favor and shut the hell up.
People need to realize that Sidney Crosby had these struggles in the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, he's dominant now. That's also because Malkin is not injured and he's been producing. Yeah,
and
also Phil Kessel.
And the tire fire.
Flyers are very I guarantee if Crosby was going up against the Bruins, he's not putting up the same amount of production.
No, the Flyers are
terrible.
Literally taking themselves out of the game.
Yeah.
Shout out Radko Gudas.
That's also true.
That was a nice hip check.
So, I'm now, if Matthews doesn't play well in the next game, okay, there's a bit of then that's where you got to see your star has to step up a little bit and help carry the team a little bit. But I think in game two, I think he was way better. Like, he was way more engaged. So I would say games one and four were the ones where he didn't look his best, but the Leafs were still in it.
If you think Matthews is the problem here, you're not watching the games properly.
No. The problem
Matthews is getting his chances.
The problem is that, yeah, this is really the problem. The problem is that there are certain players, and I think Jake Gardner is the poster boy for this, holding on to the puck too long. You give the Bruins time to close in on you. This happened with Gardner. I think Zaitsev had this happen a couple of times. It certainly happened, I think, to Dermott a couple of times, too. You hold on to that puck too long. The Bruins are like hounds. They will come at you, and they will take your space away.
Yeah. And Jake, we talked about this beforehand. Jake Gardner is, a lot of the time I've noticed he's just sort of been standing still when he gets the puck on the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's moving the puck, but his feet aren't going anywhere.
Or he's holding on to the, like, he won't take the initial shot where, Bruins.
If you're not getting the goalie moving, then you're just throwing a shot on net to boost your stat.
Not just getting the goalie movie, but the defense is not set.
Yep.
Once you let the Bruins get set, they are very good at blocking shots.
Sorry, I'm watching a rewind of the Capitals-Columbus game. Tom Wilson just blew a guy up.
You want to talk about a team? Like, that's been a strange series. Let's get into that. I wanted to talk about that. Let's talk about that for a second because the Capitals lose the first two games at home, and people are like, wow. And now Blue Jackets has lost two games on the road at home. So yeah. This is where I'm, and maybe we'll get into this now. Do you honestly believe, Austin, the Leafs have no chance now? Like, are
no
you?
No chance, no. Very, very slim chance, yes.
Okay. I will say
you need to play three perfect games or two and then grind out a win in game seven.
Yeah. This is where I think if the Leafs do not get a good start in the next game, so if the Bruins score again like they did in games one, two, if they get a couple early, it's over. That's what I think. I think the mentality of this Leafs team is just not there where I think. And they could prove me wrong, but there's been times where, and it happened last night, third period, they're still only down by one, but they didn't play like that.
As soon as that
third goal
went in and it was over, you could tell they were just deflated.
Yeah, and I saw it firsthand. The energy in the building went down too.
Oh yeah. If you're the away team. Like, I could physically hear Jake DeBrusk saying, "Let's go, boys," after he scored that goal.
Yeah.
That's how quiet it was in the ACC.
I didn't hear it, unfortunately. But...
Well, no, it's on a TV broadcast, obviously.
Exactly.
And unless you're paying $1,500, you're not hearing him say anything. So, yeah.
That's
just backbreaking.
This is where, I'm not going to look into off-season stuff. That's got to be Marleau and Hainsey have brought, like, Marleau was really good last night. Hainsey, he has experience, but he hasn't had the adversity experience like the Leafs had, right? The Penguins didn't have to deal
with the Penguins who rolled.
Yeah, I mean, the defense had their, but they still had, like, Hainsey didn't have to step up because they already had the guys that were doing that for him. He was just the guy.
Yeah, he was a third pair defenseman.
And then kind of got promoted up because of the injuries. But I think the Leafs need... this is where I think the Bruins won the trade deadline. Yeah, the Leafs got Plekanec, but the Bruins got Nash to add on to guys like Bergeron, Marchand. I mean, Pastrnak hasn't had playoff experience, but he's playing with two guys who have been there, right?
Yeah, and Rick Nash is also a guy that doesn't mind
He's
going
been
into
to
the
a
dirty.
he's
He's
been
just
to
one
a
of those
cup
guys. He's like 6'2"-ish.
he's
He's
been
a
to the
big
cup
body.
finals too. He's been there, so he knows what needs to be done to get
Yeah,
there.
he's been around with the Rangers, so.
I'm just trying to think of the other, like David Krejci has been underrated, I think, in this series, because while everyone's
That was a
while
great pass to set up the DeBrusque. Playoff performer David Krejci.
I think this is why, like, Patrick Marleau's been there before to the Cup final, but he's the only
Owen
one.
Pollock's been to a cup final.
Wow, yes. As a teammate of
Didn't
Patrick
do well,
Marleau,
but he was there.
he was there. So was James Reimer.
Oh God, I forgot about that. That San Jose team was fun.
Yeah. That was a fun San Jose team. I kind of was rooting for them to beat the Penguins. But then you remember Phil got his first cup, so you can't be too disappointed with that. This is where I think, yeah, if things don't, I mean, even if things do go their way, I think that's an underrated aspect, and people are like, oh, you're only getting a guy because of playoff experience. But guess what? The Leafs are getting shelled at times because they don't have the guys that can turn around and say, it's not over. Let's pick it up and get back into it. It happened in 2013 in that game seven. Bruins were down 4-1. I think it was Jágr or Lucic that was on the bench saying, guys, this isn't over. And what happened? You do need guys like that. Matthews is not at that point yet. He has scored big goals. Like, when you need a guy to score a big goal for you, he's done it. Again, not in playoffs. Like, he hasn't been that guy. But he's done it. But he's not the guy that's going to stand up and say, okay, guys, let's get this going. I think that's something that they are going to have to find just to give that a little extra support. I think Marleau could do it, but I don't know if he's going to do it during a game. He's not a overly.
I think they've said on the radio before that Leaf, it's sort of just known that when something needs to be said, Marlowe's the guy to say it, but like in the locker room during periods in between.
But I will also say they do have one person. He doesn't play, but Mike Babcock is usually supposed to be that guy.
I'm
But
sure he is that guy. It's just, I mean, you can't say they didn't try yesterday.
yeah.
They did what they the game plan was and tried to get the win and didn't happen.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about game five. Because this will be coming out Saturday morning. I usually try to I'll put the podcast out at night, but the post will go up in the morning. But Kadri's coming back, and he's getting into the game. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Do you put Kadri back with Marleau and Marner, or does he go to the fourth line?
Kadri go to the fourth line?
Yep.
No. No,
No?
Kadri goes back with Marner and Marleau.
Now, this is my issue with that. I actually have liked what Plekanec has done.
Yep.
And does Plekanec's style translate better with Marleau and Marner or better with Johnsson and Kapanen? I would think the la I would think Marner and Marleau work better with them. I that's what I think.
Yeah, maybe I don't think Kadri loses his spot in the lineup just based off 2 games. He's
He's
still
still gonna get in. It's just not gonna be with
no,
the
I know,
guys.
but he's still a 30-goal scorer for the Leafs, and this is the line that he got there with.
Okay.
And I mean, they were the best. They're basically the Leafs' first line right now.
Now I was gonna say my counter to that is Mike Babcock is very stubborn with his lines, so he's just gonna put
Which is why
them.
Kadri will probably be back on
Which is
his
probably
regular
why
line.
he will be back on his regular line. Don't think, did they have practice today? I didn't even check
I
that.
don't think they had media avail because Matthews did speak to the media. That's another thing about Matthews that the article's about is Matthews didn't speak to the media after the game, so everyone's calling out Matthews for not being a great leader and yada yada.
Okay, so Paul Hendrick actually tweeted. Paul Hendrick's good at this. They had an off-ice meeting, then fly. So they did video work and then off to Boston. And they'll probably, I don't think they'll practice today. There's no chance, but they'll probably do a morning skate. I'm very curious to see. I think actually what probably could happen and will probably happen is Kadri will then, go back to that second line. But the first sign of any issues, Plekanec is going to get moved up. Because this is an elimination game. No more, we'll see. There's no time for that to happen, right? I'm a little worried that Kadri, he probably may have learned a lesson, but did he learn the lesson he needs to learn going into this game, which is, you can be aggressive and physical. Don't be dumb about it.
Yep. I don't know what. I mean, I can only assume that Plekanec plays the fourth line again and Janssen and...
Okay, this is going to be my second point. Are we saying it's going to be Plekanec and Kapanen and Janssen, or...
If you want to maximize offense, that's the line.
I think I've seen what Komarov... The difference between Komarov and Janssen... And I just can't see.
There's no feasible way that you can convince this fan base that Komarov's a better.
You don't even need to say he's healthy and ready to come back in. Just do like you did yesterday, game four, and say he's not ready to come back. Even if he is, nobody would blame the Leafs.
There's only one explanation for having Janssen in the lineup over Kapanen, or not Kapanen, Komarov, and it's screw off. He's better.
This is the issue. Would I like to see Komarov in an elimination game based on his experience? No. Well, guess what? He's been in an elimination game before. It didn't go well. Right?
In 2013.
Yeah.
And, well, that's not on him, technically. He was benched for almost the entire third
He
period.
Was, and that was...
So, that's, I mean, you Pop can't Pop really
would never
Leo
allow that
for
to happen,
seven.
That's for sure.
But he was in game six last year.
He was. That is true.
He's a choker. Janssen's the better player. If you want to maximize offense and increase your chances to score goals, more goals than the other team, which is
or
the
just
goal
match
of
up against the Bruins better, I think Janssen does over Komarov.
You'd think, but
you can't anticipate what Babcock's going to do.
As you put it earlier, Mike Babcock is very stubborn with his lines.
Yep, he is.
Not at all. I told you I believe Leo Komarov will be in the lineup, and Andreas Janssen will probably sit, which is a joke, but are you honestly surprised if it happens?
I don't want to bang my head on the table.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, because Babcock's been doing it all year.
Yeah.
We were genuinely surprised when Matt Martin didn't play when he was scratched the first time.
We'll wait and see what the lines are like in the morning skate.
Yeah, that's.
I guess we have to wait. I'm surprised nobody asked about Komarov though. At practice.
I mean, they asked about him yesterday. I think.
Yeah, but that he's out now. Do you think the Leafs got caught off guard with the Bergeron news?
A little bit. But
because that was an opportunity too. I mean, Riley Nash played well, right?
Yeah, if anything, it makes it easier on you because you're game planning for all three of them, and now you basically – it's not that you're not game planning for Riley Nash. You're just – he's not an offensive threat. He's passing it off to Bergeron – or not Bergeron. Marchand or Pasternak. So he's not a big threat on that line. Not as big of a threat. You'd want to just focus on the other two. But – the big thing it changes is Bergeron is probably the best face-off man in the league. Like, over his career, he's been one of the best. He's a Selke winner. He's a Selke nominee again this year. Finalist. And he's just... I don't know. It definitely catches you off guard because there was no
So what do you, but what do you think it was? People are using the C word.
Maybe.
Cause he, now he did skate by himself this morning. So he was
like they made it sound like they were very confident he was gonna play game five. So maybe it's just precaution. Cause it'd have to be a hell of an injury for Patrice Bergeron to miss playoffs. The guy played with a punctured lung in the last 5 years.
But there's one thing he can't play with. There's no way they're going to clear him from a concussion.
Yeah. But what I'm thinking is, if it's not a concussion, maybe they just figure, if we lose that game, we're tied. If we win it, we can have Berge back to play the elimination game. And that's our best lineup. Like, maybe it's just a guess, or not a guess, but a gamble. That if we win that game, then Bergeron's 100% for when we need to eliminate this team. Because there's a lot of wear and tear. You don't know if Bergeron plays that game, if he's sort of injured, if he plays that game and gets even worse, and they can't play him for the rest of the playoffs.
It's also, I mean, it's a big game, but is it one where you risk putting him out?
Exactly. It's a big game, but it's not like an elimination game for you guys. If you win, if you win, then great. You're up 3-1, and you can bring him back in Boston. If you lose, then you bring him back in Boston and go up 3-2, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's just a calculated risk, I'd say, unless it's a concussion, which I never even thought of.
The thing is,
it doesn't look like a hit that would give you a concussion, but obviously it doesn't take much to get a concussion.
No,
and you just needs to rattle around your brain.
And I've heard it many times before from Jeff Merrick, was that it doesn't have to be a hit to the head.
Yeah.
It can be a hit to the gut, which was, I think, what it was. It's something that would...
You know, I was watching a documentary a couple days ago. Have you seen Ice Guardians yet?
No.
It's the documentary Netflix, I think, just put up. It's about enforcers, the history of enforcers in the NHL. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And they talked about the concussions.
Okay. We'll see.
So, yeah, it doesn't take a lot. So
it doesn't.
I never even came into my mind, but now, yeah, it could be.
Okay.
But they sound very confident he's going to play on Saturday, tomorrow.
All right.
Whenever this is posted.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to move off of this because I think we've beat the Leafs stuff to death. I do want to get to the other two teams just briefly.
Other two teams?
Apparently there's other two teams. There's two more teams in Toronto, Austin.
The Marlies? Oh, right. Other playoffs in Toronto.
Yeah, there's another playoff team in Toronto.
hasn't been as interesting. It's been one-sided.
Our good old boy Richard with the Homer Simpson meme, going from Leafs shirt into the bushes, coming out with a Raptors shirt and a Blue Jays hat.
That is a classic.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think that's why. Look. I mean, the basketball media is buzzing around the Raptors. Myself, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm surprised that the amount of threes are hitting and how dominant they were in Game 2. And I mean, I know John Wall made it interesting in Game 2. But, man, the Raptors are surprising me because this is not how they usually play in the playoffs. I've never seen them actually put away the criticism or any of those doubts and just play their game. And it's impressing the hell out of me.
It's a little surprising. I mean, the Raptors have had a lot of trouble in game ones. And you'd be surprised, honestly, earlier in the season, because the Raptors, I believe, lost two games to the Wizards this year.
They did.
Both without John Wall in the lineup. Bradley Beal just picked them apart.
I don't know what's Bradley Beal's issue. I don't know what's going on.
I've been hearing the report or the stories. I haven't been able to catch either of the games just because I've been out. I've caught like bits of it, but not the whole game. I've seen Bradley Beal's gone like ice cold. And John Wall's not getting calls. I saw he was complaining about no calls on him.
That's just the NBA. That's just a star.
Yeah. But like the Wizards, they were in the fourth seed, heading down the stretch and ended up in the eighth seed. I think Scott Brooks said in the media that they were just playing like a selfish team and they needed to get back to what they were doing. It's just, I mean, from that, I mean, the coach calling them a selfish team, you know, something's wrong. Like, the coach doesn't call out a team in the media unless you're John Tortorella or Greg Popovich. You don't really call, and also condolences to Greg's wife. That's terrible.
Yeah,
that's another story, the whole thing that happened with the reporter asking LeBron live before he knew about Popovich's
I don't,
wife passing.
Okay, you want to give your – I'm going to give my thought on this because we brought it up.
Yeah.
Once you heard that she did talk to him about it before it happened, I still don't agree with it. I don't think you do that on a stage like that. I think you ask that post game when the team has a chance and the PR guy has a chance to kind of give him a heads up on it.
Like the issue, the body's still warm on that story.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that there's a relationship with Popovich and LeBron. Popovich is always lauded for...
Popovich is coaching Team USA this summer, isn't he?
Probably. I don't know if that's kind of changed now or...
But... Well, yeah, obviously everything. Like, that's got to be awful, honestly, because watching this hockey game, the Spurs are probably going to drop their series to...
Yeah.
Then Popovich is going to have to go home.
Well, and I sometimes, you know, in moments like these, apparently she's been sick for a while, so
yeah,
you kind of see it coming, but I guess it's just no one expected it to be at this point.
Yeah.
And because the way his mannerism is, right? He's not a guy that...
He's very stoic.
Yeah. So I didn't...
You don't get a lot out of Pop.
But I don't know.
So it's not surprising that nobody knew that his wife was ill for a long time or it wasn't reported.
Some people knew, so...
People close it's just to it know. Was kept under wraps.
Yeah.
Which is for sure. You don't... If he doesn't want it talked about, then don't talk about it.
Yeah, so... I do feel... And I think Durant also had something happen too, right? Kevin Durant? Somebody tried to play that off, and they were kind of saying like he tried.
Right, yeah. Durant was the one that he had no idea, and they just asked him. I'm pretty sure.
Like
I saw something about that, but the LeBron one's the one that got.
Because that was supposed to be a live post game, big. You know, any post game interview with LeBron is always going to.
That probably is worse because they're playing the Spurs in the series.
Yeah.
The Durant one, like, it doesn't seem that bad. It's like the LeBron one, and then you just think about it, and it's like, no, that's not great.
It's not a good look. I think those type of things, you let the player find out the news and express it. Like LeBron's Twitter account is probably one of the most followed out of any athlete in the world. I think.
It's like asking, I don't know if it happened, it's like, if you want, we like to equate stuff back to the NHL here. It's like if one of the Sens reporters asked one of the players post game about Erik Karlsson,
like a player that didn't
son.
Like on the other team, not his own team.
Or sorry, like the team the Sens were playing that night about Erik Karlsson's son.
Yeah, like asking. I'm trying to think who's a good friend of Erik. Like asking
one of the Swedish players.
Yeah, like asking. Yeah, any of the Swedish players. Like let's say the Sedins. And they didn't know about it. That's the equivalent.
I understand it, like from us being in journalism school and whatnot. Like you want to get that reaction because it makes for good headlines, but just ethically, no.
Yeah. So I would. I would try to stay away from that. I think like as journalists, you want to report the news, but that type of news is like
it's just give it time. The story will unfold.
Let the players decide how they want to react to it, and you know have a thought out because in these ones you also want a thought out thing to say, right? What's LeBron really going to say?
Yeah, other than the very, like, just the stock, everything. Yeah. Like, thoughts and prayers with him and his family.
Right? But his and I was saying his Twitter account is so big that if he tweets it out, like that's usually what I would expect.
The people are going to respond to it. Other players, stuff like that.
Yeah. So I think that's a bit that. I mean, I didn't want to. I don't. There's not much else.
It's
we can
a story
say about that.
There's not much to talk about in the Raptors series, quite honestly. They're playing again.
I would say
tonight,
actually,
Friday.
The one thing I will say is I am pleasantly pleased. That's a terrible way to phrase that. I'm pleased with the way OG Anunoby has played.
Surprised.
Exactly. OG Anunoby has played much better offensively in the series.
Yep.
I'm a little concerned about the Raptors' defense in the paint, and it's been brought up that John Wall has realized I'm not getting the calls on the outside when I shoot. So, and he's quick. Like
he is really fast.
Damar Grant, who writes for our site, he's doing the Six Revelations piece. It's supposed to be a whole Drake theme thing, and it's worked. I mean, and he puts in gifts with every like certain plays he's trying to talk about. And he showed one of John Wall on the outside, and he's just like, you know what? I had enough of this, and he just
John Wall, when he wants to, just zips around the floor. I saw him the first game he ever played in Toronto in his rookie season. I saw him, and he was the guy can fly.
Yes, he can. Do you think the Raptors can sweep this? Or do you think Washington wins a game?
Hey, why not?
I think the Raptors
have a lot more faith in them than I do in the Leafs.
I think the Raptors, that's why I think, I'm not going to say totally give up on the Leafs, but give the Raptors some love, too.
The Raptors, they're...
I think people at the same time are just like, we know the Raptors can most likely win in round one. We all know what people are concerned about and what's going to be the bigger hype. If they're playing the Cavs in round two... Like, that's what people are going to...
You want to get done with this Washington series? Because assumably,
but
you're playing the Cavs.
I will say, Indiana, which, I mean, we all know the Raptors are a way better team than Indiana. Indiana is giving them... LeBron had to literally score half of the points.
He scored 48 points, and they won by less than 10.
They won by, I think, 5, right?
Yeah.
So... Like
if your leading scorer has to score 50 and you can't even get a double digit lead, that's a problem.
So
the same thing that happened when he had that huge game against the Raptors, they didn't blow them out.
No,
LeBron had to have that massive game just for the Cavs to win.
Yeah, so I think
they're beatable.
They are definitely beatable. But people can also see LeBron will do what he has to do.
Playoff LeBron is playoff LeBron, but the Cavs as a whole don't look as heroic as they usually have.
No, they're definitely not. I'm just curious to see how, if the Raptors can get this sweep, is it going to be? I'm very curious to see how this Cavs Pacers series plays out, because I think the Pacers could give the Raptors some problems. They've played them tough this year. I mean,
they've lost. They were the only.
I think they were the ones that beat the Raptors.
They were one of the only playoff teams the Raptors had a negative record against, or something, wasn't it?
I think so.
I don't follow the NBA as closely as I should.
No,
but...
and that's understandable. We're hockey guys, but
the Pacers gave the Raptors some issues. Victor Oladipo has been really good, as he was in the game one when they beat the Cavs.
And I don't understand how, Indiana didn't really, he's the one that could have brought them back in that game, and they didn't. That was a big thing that
Corey Joseph's always good in the playoffs. Again, it's another guy that's from Pop System, and he knows how to play in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Sabonis is a good big. I mean.
Yeah.
It's Miles Turner.
Yeah.
He's great. I mean, they have a good team. They're just, it's just kind of like the Raptors. The one year they made the first year they made the playoffs after this run started, where it's kind of like they're going to become something.
Yep.
You just don't know what it is just yet.
No, I think the second round will give a better indication. And then third round,
if they make the second round, the Pacers.
Yeah.
They need to get through playoff LeBron.
They do. And it's going to be tough. But hey, that was they split the home and home. Right, like Cavs are really hard to beat in not Cleveland. Bad. So
yep.
that should stand for something. Let's move on to a little bit of baseball because apparently spring weather doesn't like agree with spring weather in Toronto doesn't agree with baseball.
It was not tip of the tower dropping the giant chunks of ice on the Sky Dome.
No.
Just preface that.
Man, yeah, RCN Tower's not getting much love the last few days.
That's the first doubleheader the Jays have had to play since 2001.
Yeah, and well, it's the first doubleheader at Sky Dome. But no, is it really 2001? Was it that long ago? Like, well, I thought
yeah,
it was way.
I've been to a couple games where the dome was open and it started raining and they had to close the dome. But like, yeah. Other than that, nothing.
Man, I don't know how that. This is my issue with the whole ice storm thing, the CN Tower. That is probably the one structure I am so concerned about ice falling down from because it happens on building. Like though that ice was.
Like did you see the video? There was a
guy
that
was walking
just out on the street, and he was over by.
He was right across from CBC, where the
yeah,
a guy the was walking and almost got impaled by ice.
Yeah,
was that the
he,
one?
He cheated death. That man.
He had. I mean, you can't. I don't know if you could hear it, but he also had headphones on.
It was bad.
It was pretty bad.
So yeah. The entire area should be shut down. I don't know. Did you end up going to the viewing party? No. Somebody told me the other day that the rec room was closed. Our buddy Jose said the rec room was closed because they had a viewing party for game 3 that we didn't end up going
to. I thought they opened it, though.
I think they did for that, and then afterwards it was too dangerous or something.
Road, I think Bremner... between Simcoe and like where the Rogers, like that area is shut down. You cannot go there.
For good reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the second
largest structure in the world dropping giant chunks of ice from.
Did you hear how big
500
that chunk,
meters up?
You hear how big that chunk of ice that went through the stadium?
No.
It was the size of a desk. That would crush a human being to death. From that height, first off, the people who manage the tower don't prepare for that.
Those are the heroes everyone deserves. Jesus.
Oh, the people that went on the roof to try to fix it was still ice.
The balls.
And still chance to get crushed by ice falling down. I mean, I'd think that how does the CN Tower not have a way to safeguard it from happening? I thought that was the reason. I mean, concrete.
I don't even know what the safeguard. my first reaction is just before the ice really builds up, just chip it off. But then it's like, wait, it's the CN Tower. That'll still be little things of ice that are still massive falling on people.
That's true. I don't know.
There's no real like bona fide fix.
Should have been made out of heated.
Regardless, the Blue Jays had a lot of fun.
Oh man.
At the expense of Ryan Goins and the Royals.
Did they ever crush the Royals?
It did not look good for most of, maybe all three of those games. They were losing. I'm trying to think two of them for sure.
And you notice the crowds have been getting better?
Yeah, the first game was obviously not great.
No, but that's
3 o'clock. Yeah. First half of the doubleheader.
But
then people, somebody said that people that paid for the first game got seats to the second game for free. They were allowed to stick around, which was cool.
I don't know how they make that work. Because what if people bought the same ticket, the same seat for the second?
I guess you just sort of, it's just sort of a gentleman's agreement that you just sort of move over.
Or they have an area that's.
They have like, I mean, the down near the corners of the outfield, that's not very busy.
No.
And those are pretty cheap seats. So maybe there in the 500s, they relocate everyone.
But gee, does winning baseball ever help the Blue Jays, both in attendance and.
What the hell is winning baseball in April?
Exactly.
Something else I'm going to write on is the Blue Jays being very good in April, which they have not been at all.
This
even
is
when
their
they
best,
made the playoffs.
Best April since 2009.
Yep.
Like,
and they were. I actually have my notes here for all that.
I think Ian Hunter was the one that wrote that for Vice. Yep. But holy smokes!
15-9 start to the 2009 season.
And this is without their pitching even being as good as it should be. This is all offense. Let's say 60.
This is
60,
all Luke Maley.
60 to 75%. Hey, don't be hating on my boy.
No, Luke Maley almost went yard again yesterday until he didn't.
No, and yeah, seven straight hits. Or sorry, now it was a record, right? Nine straight hits with runners in scoring position.
He was, I think when he drove in that run in the Yankees game last night, he became 7 for 7.
Yep, 7 for 7.
Runners in scoring position.
I think that's what it was or something.
Silly. You talk about how good Ryan Goins was with the bases loaded in the last year. It's like, that's how good
Luke Maley,
even better, actually, that has been just with runners and scoring.
And this is something they needed from the backup catcher spot, is someone that can not be a total shell on offense.
Well, you see, I mean, he's just, you can tell when a hitter's just got that luck going. It's like with every sports. When you're hot, and you get those bounces. You have to be good to be lucky is the common term.
Yep. No, that's
and true. He hits what looks like a routine ground ball to short.
He keeps
and I guess they had some sort of shift on or somebody was just
it got right it did barely squeak through like two both
yeah,
the
like
both
he two diving infielders going in either direction and he still squeaks it through into the outfield for a single. It's just like that's what I mean. When you're playing well, you just get those kind of breaks.
Gee, maybe like the Bruins have been getting against the Leafs. I don't know.
Well, you have to be good to get those breaks, so I mean.
Yeah.
It's not luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, they lost last night, but it was still a close game. Oh, my God. Yep. Aroldis Chapman, just flat out.
He's a buzzsaw. He's ridiculous.
I think all three outs were by a strikeout, and it was the same goddamn pitch, 101 miles per hour.
Yeah, the one thing that I think gets slept on with this Yankees team is they have a very good lineup, obviously, with Stanton and Judge. And Judge went yard yesterday.
Their starting pitching is not
as
good.
And they have one of the best bullpens in the MLB.
They do. Their starting pitching is not. I mean, look, they have Robertson, Betances, and Chapman. Three guys who could easily be who could easily be a closer on any other team. And the Yankees can be like, all right.
And they're also, what, like a year... 2 years removed from having Andrew Miller as well, like just bonkers.
Yeah, but
the Yankees have had a good bullpen for a while.
They have. That's why I was when the Blue Jays were down, I was so surprised they even made it a one-run game.
Yeah, because it's just.
Well, the Blue Jays
now,
have
now
done
you
a
build around bullpens, and it's just as soon as you get to the sixth or seventh, you're in trouble.
I will say this has been a strength of the Blue Jays. They are one of the best offensive teams, usually against opposing teams' bullpens.
They lead the league
In runs after the
RBIs
seventh.
After something.
Yeah.
So it's just I can't explain it because Travis on regular rest, Martin on regular rest, Donaldson on IR, Tulo on IR, Morales on IR.
DL, come on, this isn't hockey.
Whatever.
Disabled
list.
I mean, it actually
baseball
also...
Baseball purists. It's like when Richard got angry at me for saying there was a salary cap in baseball. It's like, just don't judge me.
This is
hockey all year. Just give me a break.
I will say...
You know what I mean.
I will say, I think a big part of the reason why they've been successful is because of the injuries. Other than Donaldson, because Donaldson's still being productive, but... You're giving.
I mean, they don't win a lot of those games without Maley, to be fair. Like, this is an unexpected.
Well, come on, but let's be real. I mean, Luke Maley has been also been hitting when the Jays have been pummeling teams by.
No. I'm not saying, like, but over the last little bit, like, Maley's had some big RBIs.
He has. I mean, look,
that
Solarte,
really helped the Jays win games.
Solarte
as well.
Granderson, Pierce. I'm looking at, other than Justin Smoke, I mean, I wrote about this too.
Is it Jan Hervis or is it Yan Gervis? I'm thinking it's Jan Hervis.
You're doing this to me now?
Well, I just don't know. It's something I've been wondering. I'm going to go with Jan Hervis. He's been great. He has 4 home runs already this season.
He was probably the best pickup so far.
Yep, he and Diaz and
Yaimi Garcia on the pitching.
Yaimi Garcia has been good. He had a bit of a rough outing to start with Kansas City, but got better. Maley, I mean, he's a returning guy. And Kepe looked like he was going to be good, but he's been sent down for a little conditioning, I guess. And it's just Ledmus Diaz has been good. Like, it's just the depth is better. Granderson's been good, and Grichuk has not. You want to talk about the one thing that's gone wrong for the Jays, and that's Randall Grichuk, who's now hitting at a pristine 0.88 this season. Yikes.
Okay. Yeah. He might lose his spot to Teoscar Hernandez.
I would say. I'd send him for a conditioning stint.
Does he have options, actually?
I have no idea.
How do you check that?
I called the DL and IR a minute ago. You think I know how many options Randall Grichuk has?
That's...
I don't know. I'll get Richard on the horn.
Richard is in a factory right now in Brampton, so I can't. I can't get him yet.
Later. I'll ask him my dumb baseball questions and get them solved.
He's still in his arbitration years. The issue is, like, this is why I like Cap Friendly, because Cap Friendly shows, like, for hockey.
He can go here, here, and here.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say no. I would say he doesn't have options, but... Okay, so this is how you say Solarte's name. This is his pronunciation way. Yongervis.
It's definitely not how anybody else says it.
Yongervis. Yongervis. Or maybe it's Yongervis. Sorry. I think it's Yongervis. Yongervis, yeah. Solarte. I don't know. I could be totally wrong.
But I've heard it pronounced Yongervis, Hangervis, like...
Oh,
it's something that needs to be solved ASAP.
Yongervis. This is how the... Yongervis. This is how the
okay.
Blue...
Okay, that's
blue,
cool. Yongervis, Solarte.
Yeah, so it's yon, like yon, hair, like you know, hair on your head, vis, Yongervis.
Okay.
Yongervis Solarte. So that's how the Blue Jays media pronunciation guide. I couldn't find that article, and I found it on Sportsnet because I remember they did put that up.
Oh, you are on brand today, sir.
On brand today. That's right. Hey, I shout out TSN Radio for the other conversation stuff.
You're not on brand then.
Yeah. If the Blue Jays win the series against the Yankees, and let's say. I think it's a 4-game series. So let's say they split it. Let's say they were to somehow beat the Red Sox. And I say somehow because I don't think it's possible. Because yet. Does your opinion about this season change?
The Jays season as a whole? No. 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 Because honestly, anything... after this good start is it's still their best start since 2009.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in a lot of trouble after last year. They went, I think it was 8-17 after April.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can't lose every game for the rest of the month. That's just not how to go about things. But, I mean, they're doing well for themselves.
Yeah.
So,
They're totally.
You expect to lose
to
the Yankees. They're supposed to be the best team in the AL East.
They're not right now.
They're
behind
third.
The Blue Jays.
But obviously, that's not all season. The Yankees will figure it out. The Red Sox started well. The Jays will falter a bit. Like if the Jays can stay in that 3 spot, I'm pretty happy, because the season was supposed to be like the bridge season before the rebuild starts. Like make the fans happy before we blow it all up, basically.
Yeah,
and it's turned out to be one of the most successful seasons in recent history. So,
well, I mean, Jay,
Byron Atkins are saving their own tails right now, honestly.
Well, it's depth. I mean,
they
don't have front line depth. They just have depth that's being productive.
They went out and got cheaper guys that did the job better than the guys they had before. And Granderson's been great. He had a grand slam against the Royals, I believe it was. Yeah, 2 nights ago. Justin Smoke, I mean, he's already like the guys that you already have are playing well. Maley is obviously the guy that stands out, but Justin Smoke's not doing bad.
Justin Smoke has, he's been good. I mean, a lot of teams have been afraid to pitch to him, which understandable.
Yeah. Steve Pierce has chipped in a bit. I mean, it's just
I'm a little concerned about the bullpen. I'm just not sold on the bullpen yet. And
No.
I'm not.
Well, it's a lot of guys that, like, that's the problem is you have to spend big money on. That's exactly what we talked about
Those
earlier
guys at
is,
the Yankees, they yeah.
yeah, exactly, is there's it's a big market for bullpen arms now because bullpens are being relied more and more on than they ever have been. So it's big money. You're gonna have to spend a ton on a guy to just shut it down. So what the Jays are doing is trying to do that with their own arms that they
Ryan
brought through
Tepera
the
is really
system.
helping with that.
Barrow was good. He gave up a home run on
Osuna
the
has
other.
been
Wasn't
on
great
fire.
to
No.
Aristides Escobar, but
Yeah.
yeah, he's not bad, honestly. Tepera's good. Danny Barnes has had a really good start to the year.
Yeah.
I think Meza just got sent down, but he only played an inning anyway, so pitched an inning rather, baseball terms. Yeah, it's growing pains. Roberto Osuna's I don't even know. There's been a lot of games where the bullpen's had to like win the Jays games.
No, because of all the
Thankfully.
blowouts, right? So that's a good point. There have been games where, yeah, the bullpen has had to come. Not many. I mean, the first couple of Osuna saves, they were dire ones, but
Yeah.
the offense has done their job. I think
That's the last time
that's.
I heard about Osuna was when he had his 100th save on the Sanchez no-hitter.
Yep, that's true.
The last time I've heard his name. So that's good that the Jays, honestly, it's not good for Osuna because obviously he wants to get in as much game action, but it's good for the Jays because they don't need to rely on their bullpen to keep them from blowing games. And Osuna had, what was it, 10 blown saves last year, if not more?
Off the top
So
of my head, I can't
it's
remember.
just a tale of two seasons, honestly, because they couldn't, Osuna couldn't help the Jays offense last year because they just couldn't get
Hit.
him enough runs to save games.
Yep.
And this year, it's that you don't even have to. Like,
Not
I don't
yet.
even know who's all in the Jays bullpen because I haven't watched all the games.
Tyler,
Axel
well,
Clippard are there. I know Sung Waino
Clippard,
was there.
Axford, Barnes, Sunghwan Oh. Tepera, Osuna, was it a seven-man bullpen? I
I
know
think
Meza was optioned down.
Meza was just optioned. Yeah. But yeah, it's just. Yeah, it's a work in progress. The Jays.
It is. Oh, it definitely is.
Aaron Loop's there as well.
Aaron Loop. How can I forget
Old
about Loop?
faithful.
Old Looper. Yeah, I would just
God, let's
say,
not run with that.
yeah, no.
Looper.
I want to see how Marco Estrada pitches tonight. I mean, okay, sorry. He's pitching against the Yankees on Friday. It's most likely going to be outdated by the time people listen to this.
Well.
But I think Marcus Stroman is someone that needs to. I know he missed time with the with the in, with his inflammation, so I'm giving him a bit of leeway to get back into it, but he's got to get his command back.
As
Yaimi
soon
Garcia
as
has been
he and
struggling.
Sanchez can both have like good years together, the Jays will be fine.
Yeah, they can be a
But it seems
contender
like
for a
Sanchez
wild
had
card.
2 years ago, Sanchez had the Cy Young caliber season, and Stroman wasn't very good. And obviously, Sanchez was out last year, and Stroman had
A good a Cy
even a
Young.
Cy Young candidate last year.
Yeah.
And it just seems like Sanchez is doing pretty well, and Stroman's not
Although
doing very well to start
Sanchez
the season.
seemed very frustrated on third no in the opener against the Yankees. He didn't like how he was pitching. I think the weather kind
Yeah.
of impacted that too, but
Yeah, the weather looked like crap.
yeah, so yeah, I'm more curious to see how they play against Boston, because Boston right now is the measuring stick in baseball. But it's definitely at least still a way better outcome than what was happening last season, I will say. Lots to talk about with all of these Toronto teams. The Rock, you were at a game.
I was at a game.
What was that? How did that go?
Not well for The Rock. Well for Rochester, who they played.
So
Do
what's
you want me
the
to
out?
just summarize it very quickly?
No, I mean I can. You wrote the article. I just want to know what's their outlook like.
Their outlook is they're still in the playoffs, but just hanging on by a thread. So they need to win out to make the playoffs. They have 2 games left over the next 2 weeks, I think next 2 Saturdays. I mean, the last game of the year was good. The thing with me with The Rock is their team's good, and it was good the last game because they set their record for this season for attendance, their highest attendance. I think it was just
That's
over
very
11,000 at the
good.
ACC, which is pretty good because they were one. I'd like to say one game this season they were hovering around 6K. So Definitely that extra 5K will help you.
Yep.
Just the better atmosphere for sure. But yeah, it's not been a very good season for the Rock. They started off 0-2, won 4 straight, and now they've lost 7 of their last 10 games.
Yikes.
So it's really just been up and down. They have, I don't know how many people follow the team, so I won't go too into detail, but they had an MVP caliber player go down with a torn PCL, partially torn PCL, which was out for the majority of the year, and that cost them big time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now they're just fighting to get back in, and hopefully they can. If not, then they'll just keep building. The Rock have skewed sort of on the older side over the last, as long as I've watched the team, they've sort of sold off the future draft picks and whatnot in order to get players that could win them championships.
A la 2007, 8, 9, 2010 Leafs?
Yeah, yep.
Pretty much.
24 Leafs.
Although there's just no championships, so.
Yeah, so it's just they're rebuilding, and I have a high outlook on the team. I know a lot of fans are used to winning a lot of games. They are not used to these fringe playoff teams. They're used to the Rock winning division titles and making championship runs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little hard for the fan base to get used to, but I think they're going in the right direction. It's lacrosse. You don't usually see rebuilds that often. I know I'm going off on a tangent about the Rock, but we don't talk about the Rock, so no. Give me this.
I will. Yeah. Well, you've been meaning to do an interview with some Rock players and stuff. Well,
yeah, absolutely.
I'll let you set aside a podcast for that, or just even
Try and get somebody in if we can do one.
Yeah,
I was trying to at the beginning of the year and we couldn't work it out, but I have somebody in mind if we can just.
We'll get it. We'll sort it out.
It's
a little tough with the playoffs and the work schedule, but we'll make.
Yeah,
sure.
I think maybe doing one closer to when the draft happens in September, that could probably work.
Yeah. And then
that's when everything sort of kicks off. Free agency is about a month before that. And
I mean, look, we ignore the Rock, but Toronto FC, we haven't even talked about either. They're going for their biggest game in franchise history on Tuesday, and they're down, I know.
Yeah, that was a rough game.
But they should have, like the Leafs in game four, God, I'm so out of it.
They need to get pucks in. That's how TFC will win this game.
TFC could have won that game so easily. They had so many great scoring chances. There were some that were missed. Altidore just shot it right at the goalkeeper. It always happens like that in soccer. So,
yeah, it's
I'm not worried about
TFC. Sports, and yet they find a way to miss it more times than they don't.
Yeah. But we'll definitely.
Soccer players might be the most uncoordinated athletes on earth.
That's true.
True. Just sorry if anybody loves soccer to listen to this, but yeah, it's just there's no excuse for missing a net that big so often with the chances they get.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end this.
Hockey players, they can still score.
That's true.
Bruins scored 3 last night on a net that's 4x6.
Although that net for a couple of players seemed like it was like a soccer net. So let's not.
That Austin Matthews, he could use a soccer net right about now.
Ha! You're funny.
I made a joke.
Okay, before we get before this goes too off the rails,
stop me before it's too late.
Yeah. Want to thank Austin again for his time. Thank you, Austin, for your time.
Yeah, no worries.
There's a lot going on. We are doing our best at Tip of the Tower to keep you on top of everything. We got Austin's piece on Lourdes Gurriel, who was just recalled by the Blue Jays.
For the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, that got called up, a little bit surprising in my opinion. So he got called up. Austin's got a piece up on him. We got all your stuff on the Raptors. Check out all of DeMar's 6 revelations. Ooh. It's gonna be.
Can I interrupt you for 2 seconds?
Uh oh.
Lourdes Gurriel will be making his MLB debut tonight.
So this will be on a Friday night. You got Lourdes Gurriel night. Raptors
playing second base, batting ninth.
You got Game 3 of the Raptors on a Friday night, and Gurriel making his debut.
And
what better way?
Easily
Friday night.
Easily, the best hair in the business.
That is true. If you want to see that flow, go to tipofthetower.com. You can find his that yeah, you'll see Austin's piece on Guriel and his lovely locks. The last one I did was on the Raptors finally earning a little bit of respect from they were just featured on ESPN magazine. They've been featured on a couple of ESPN shows, which hasn't really happened. ESPN employees are being told to update their passports, showing how much they think potential NBA finals could be coming north of the border. And I don't know if I'm ready for the Leafs season to end just yet, so hopefully we'll have more on that on Tip of the Tower as well. Nick is going to have your TFC thoughts after
TFC wins the Champions League.
We'll see.
Hot takery.
I think they can. I was convinced that they were going to win that game based on how they were playing, but
gotta
bounces didn't go their way.
A good game.
Yep. So
pucks in deep.
Pucks in deep. Balls in deep. I don't know how many other
pucks in deep. Bang bodies. That's all you need.
And let's not forget, next week we got the NFL draft. I'm actually. I'll most likely be watching if there's not too much else going on. The Bills could be an intriguing team to watch with the trade front. So lots will have on tipofthetower.com. And appreciate you listening to the podcast. Follow Austin on Twitter, _AustinOwens. Austin, you got to do more GIFs of playoff hockey.
Yeah, man.
You might be
people
your last.
People got to start retweeting more GIFs, and then I'll start doing them.
All right, I'll make sure to retweet. But could be the last time you do it this season for the Leafs. So,
I'm not just doing them for the Leafs. I'll do them for anyone. That's just depends on when I'll be home.
Okay, well I'm not.
I was doing them for the Jets.
I'm not really interested in the other teams. Okay, we're only Toronto. I joke.
Whatever.
Vegas games would be fun. I'd like to see that.
I've done a couple of Vegas ones, and they're. Yeah. Yeah, they haven't gotten that much of a...
No, they haven't had as many goals, but I'm expecting a little more next series.
You know what makes me upset about Twitter is that you can see how many people have reacted views now.
It's just like when you send out...
haven't retweeted your stuff.
It's just like when you send out a WhatsApp message and you've seen people have read it, or even on Facebook, and you've seen people have read it and they don't respond.
It's the social media equivalent of reading a text and not replying.
Exactly. All right, that's a great way to end it. You can follow me on Twitter, _David Morisuti, or D_Morisuti. Wow, I am I'm on my game today.
David Morisuti 69.
Dude, seriously?
Yeah.
All right, don't panic just yet, people. We still have another Leafs game to watch. I'm a little more optimistic about their chances, unlike some other people. I mean, Austin isn't giving up yet, but he's not... ready there yet either.
I'm definitely not positive.
Enjoy your sports filled weekend. I'm sure we will be.